This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking ahead to all of the Championship fixtures coming up. Obviously, we've got some fixtures tonight, some tomorrow night. It's not just the Champions League happening, also some Championship fixtures. So we'll be looking ahead to all of those games that come tonight. We've got roughly half the games tonight, half the games tomorrow. We'll be talking in more detail about tabletoppers West Brom, who had another win on the weekend. They're back in action tomorrow night. What might the January transfer window hold for them? We'll also be talking a bit about Derby as well. They won against High Flyers Preston at the weekend. They got a few injuries to deal with. They travel to Fulham tonight in the Championship. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So that number again, 0208 7020 558. If you want to get in touch, obviously the Championship Fan Show every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock, dedicated to all fans of the 24 Championship clubs. So make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. As I mentioned, it's not just the Champions League that is in action over the next couple of nights. Also, the Championship has midweek fixtures this week. The fixture list just ramps up another level, so plenty for the Championship managers to be thinking about. So we've got a certain number of fixtures tonight. Let's go through those fixtures in the Championship, starting with Cardiff against Stoke. And both teams have recently appointed new managers for Neil Harris. His first game in charge after resigning as the Millwall manager earlier in the season. His first game ended in a 2-2 draw away at Charlton, so it's his first home game in charge of Cardiff tonight, and they take on Stoke. Michael O'Neill, replacing Nathan Jones at the beginning of this month, made it 2 wins from 2 at the weekend. Obviously, he's still, in theory, the Northern Ireland coach, so he's doing a pretty good job juggling the two. He aims to make it 3 wins from 3 at the start of his tenure at Stoke, away at Cardiff tonight. So, really interesting game, more so for the managers than the actual players themselves. I mentioned at Craven Cottage, Fulham take on Derby. Fulham won 2-1 on Friday night against QPR in the London Derby. Abubakar Kamara scoring twice in the absence of Alexander Mitrovic, who is back from suspension. He's been one of the stars of the show in the Championship so far this season. And he is back from suspension tonight. Derby, they've had a pretty wacky season, but they do currently occupy 11th place. I mean, their last 5 games sums up Derby and sums up the Championship. Win-loss, win-loss, win. The inconsistency from many sides. Derby won 1-0 at the weekend against Preston, who were second before the weekend, still third. So a pretty good result for Philip Cocu's side. They travel to Scott Parker's Fulham this evening. Up at the John Smith Stadium, Huddersfield take on Swansea. Huddersfield drew at the weekend with Birmingham. They are currently 19th in the table, but things have improved under Danny Cowley considerably from when they had Jan Sievert. They are at home against Swansea, who lost on the weekend. They've dropped down to 6th place. Their form has been a little bit patchy over the last 5 games. 2 wins, 2 losses and a draw. They're level on points with Forest and Fulham just above them and on Bristol City just below them. It just shows how tight it is. But Steve Cooper's side will be hoping to get back to winning ways away at Huddersfield. Luton play Charlton. 5 straight defeats now for Luton, which has seen them slip into the bottom 3, having been promoted into the Championship. Things were looking quite bright for Luton in the first 10 games, but as I said, 5 straight defeats mean they are 22nd. They are 11 on points with Middlesbrough just above them and Stoke just below them. But I wonder whether the pressure really is ramping up on Graham Jones, because I think it's a different situation to those other clubs where they've been promoted from League One, and Graham Jones obviously took over from Nathan Jones when he left to go to Stoke halfway through last season and still guided them into the championship. So I wonder whether they will show more patience. And I don't think he is under as much pressure as maybe a few others that are, but also a lot of clubs have decided to change their manager. Lyle Taylor is looking to make his comeback from injury tonight. He's been out since the end of August. Still scored 5 league goals. I think Patrick Bamford is on the same number of goals, and Lyle Taylor's been out for 10 weeks. So Charlton could have a boost there. To be fair, the likes of Conor Gallagher and Macaulay Bourne have stepped up in his absence. But Lyle Taylor coming back potentially. There were rumours he might be involved on the weekend against Cardiff. Didn't quite make the matchday squad. He could be back involved tonight. Millwall take on Wigan, and Gary Rowett's made a good start to life as the Millwall manager. They are up in 10th place at the moment. 3 wins in their last 4. They host Wigan, whose form is a little bit like Luton's. 4 defeats in the last 5 means that Wigan are just 1 point above the relegation zone. So an important away game for Wigan. Millwall, I'm sure at the Den, will be backing themselves tonight to create a good atmosphere and get a win. And the other game tonight sees Reading, who are in 18th, who've made a good start to life under Mark Bowen, another club that has changed their manager and seen a real bounce effect. They host Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds, who, after winning at the weekend, have seen themselves move into the automatic promotion spots. They're up into 2nd place on 34 points, keeping West Brom honest, just 2 points behind them. So those fixtures again: Cardiff play Stoke, Fulham are at home against Derby, Huddersfield take on Swansea, Luton play Charlton, Millwall take on Wigan, and Reading take on Leeds. Looking at the Championship table as it stands, West Brom, as I mentioned, having just lost 1 game all season, occupy the top position. They are on 36 points. Leeds are 2nd on 34. Both of those sides have identical records in the last 5 games. They've both won their last 3 and drew the previous 2. In the playoff positions, Preston, after their loss, drop into 3rd on 31 points. Then we have 3-4 sides on 29 points. Fulham, Nottingham Forest, Swansea and Bristol City all there on 29. Brentford are one of the informed teams in the Championship. They've won 4 of their last 5. They beat Reading at the weekend. They're up to 8th place, 27 points, just a couple of points off the playoff positions. Sheffield Wednesday are 25 points in 9th, but their form is going slightly the other way, 2 defeats and 2 draws in their last 4 games. Down near the bottom, Gerhard Struber's first game in charge of Barnsley didn't end in a win. They are bottom on 9 points, being cut adrift slightly, so he's certainly going to need to make a rather significant impact there on 9 points. Stoke are 2nd bottom on 14, same number of points as Luton and Middlesbrough. Wigan also in poor form, there on 15. Huddersfield in 19th on 17 points. As I mentioned, this is the period now where the fixtures are ramping up. We're seeing it in the Premier League. It is also the case in the Championship because we're 17 games into a 46-game season. But I think over these next 6 or 7 weeks, we're going to learn a lot more about these sides. I think we're going to know by about Christmas where each team is going, what they're going to be playing for come the end of the season. I think on the whole, I think we're starting to see where teams are going to be. But the way that the Championship has gone, and considering how inconsistent it has been, it's remarkable when you look at the form tables that teams go and win a couple of games, then they go and lose a couple of games. It really is very, very inconsistent. But I think you can start to see in the relegation battle, I think the bottom 5 at the moment look like that's what it's going to be. But Stoke, many people talk about how their squad is far too good to go down. They won't be in trouble. They've won back-to-back games at the start of Michael O'Neill's tenure. You would imagine that they will find themselves fighting out of that area. I think Don Betts said yesterday from the Fulhamish podcast that he joined me in the studio, and he said that even Stoke could potentially push for playoff positions. Now, maybe that seems a little bit silly to say that. However, there is still so long to go. It's remarkable. 29 games still in the season. So all is not lost for Stoke. Middlesbrough, I think, is the one to look out for in terms of changing the manager next. Jonathan Woodgate may be a club legend up at the Riverside, but they will be under significant pressure over the coming weeks and months. We've spoken to some Middlesbrough guests over the last few weeks and months, and they've said that they will remain patient with him, but I just wonder whether that patience will wear thin, and ultimately they will have to make potentially a tough decision going forward. What's really interesting is that middle of the table, because they're really between Blackburn in 17th, and Brentford in eighth. There's just 6 points that covers all of those teams. That these next five, six, seven games will determine, are you going to be looking up the table? Or are you going to be looking over your shoulders? Because some sides are in really good form. You look at the likes of Brentford that we mentioned, 4 wins out of their last five. Millwall, 3 wins out of their last four. Other sides are in completely different form. QPR have lost 3, drawn 2 of their last 5 games. Similar record for Charlton just below them. Where will these teams be playing it out? I think the nature of it is that if you get on just a small winning run, you find yourself rocketing up the table. The vice versa works as well. That you look at the likes of QPR, it was only a few weeks ago that they were being potentially touted to be a club that could push for a playoff position. Suddenly they've lost 3 of their last 4, and they're now 5 points off that. So it's amazing how much the Championship is changing week in, week out, game after game. And this week is obviously one of those occasions where managers are going to be tested, because those with bigger squads will be able to rotate. We're heading into a very hectic period. We had games on the weekend, then in midweek, then on the weekend again. So there is going to have to be some rotation. You look at Fulham, for example. They played Friday night. They're in action tonight. Then they're back in action on Friday night away at Swansea. So they've had back-to-back home games, but they are away again. So that's going to be a test of Scott Parker's management. How does he change things? Obviously, Mitrovic was suspended on Friday, so he comes back in fresh, I suppose, from a game off, I suppose. But how will he manage that? And I think over these next 5 or 6 games, we will really, well, I say that, we will really establish who's going to be where in the table. But what we've learned from the Championship is, I don't think predicting anything is a wise call. But as I said, plenty of fixtures tonight and tomorrow night. A test of all the different managers up and down the table. How do they use their squads? Some teams in great form. You look at West Brom, Leeds, Bristol City, Brentford, Millwall, all in good form. Other teams, Luton, Wigan, QPR, Charlton, all in bad form. They'll be looking to change those as well.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fans Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be talking about the table toppers in the Championship, the most consistent of the Championship sides this season. That is West Brom, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by Joe Chapman, a West Brom reporter for the Birmingham Mail. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Joe. Let's look back at the win on the weekend at home against Sheffield Wednesday. West Brom won 2-1 in the end. Gary Monk, the Sheffield Wednesday manager, said that he was gutted not to take anything, let alone a win from the game. Was that your view, that West Brom were maybe fortunate to get all 3 points?
I think Albion have managed, in the last couple of games especially, other side of the international break, they've managed to find a knack of winning games when they haven't been playing particularly well over the course of 90 minutes. They were the much better team in the first half, created a number of chances, scored a fantastic goal early on, got themselves in front, and having scored that goal, they really kind of assumed control. And Sheffield Wednesday were a really well set up team. At periods in that first half, couldn't live with them. And Monk changed things. He obviously had a word with his team at half time about how they might be able to wrestle momentum back. And that was evident at the start of the second half. They played on the front foot. They created one or two chances, one or two openings. They kind of forced the mistake that led to their penalty, which Stephen Fletcher converted. And at that point, with 20, 25 minutes to go, I'd have said that they were probably the team with the momentum that were more likely to go and get a winner if there was going to be one. But I was impressed really by Albion's ability to in the same instance, wrestle back that same momentum. And kind of take the game back to their visitors with a couple of changes that Slaven Bilic made that really, really paid off. Gareth Barry and Charlie Austin being part of a double substitution. And Austin might have scored before he even scored the penalty. He hit the post with a header literally 90 seconds before he put his penalty away. So I can totally understand Gary Monk's frustration, because for an hour or so, I thought that they were in the game.
You mentioned Charlie Austin's name there, Joey. Scored an 88th-minute penalty to win that game. We've spoken about Charlie Austin and maybe, well, a real kind of, I don't know, maybe not completely convinced about his start to life at West Brom. Maybe a little bit underwhelming, but and maybe the one area where West Brom would look to improve, everywhere else has been pretty good, but centre-forward-wise, maybe it's been a small issue. How important do you think it will be for Charlie Austin and for West Brom that he scored that goal, even though it was only from the penalty spot? Goal scorers just love scoring goals in no matter what way. Will this be a big boost for him and the team?
You certainly hope so, from the perspective of everyone at Albion. I suppose you're right, it is only a penalty, but what I can say is the penalty he did take was absolutely fantastic. There was no chance Kieran Westwood, who is a very, very accomplished goalkeeper, was getting anywhere near it. It was right in the corner. It was something that, when all things considered, the 89th minute of a game, to keep yourself at the top of the league, because Leeds United were about to score their winner. It was very, it was nerveless, absolutely nerveless. And it didn't look like someone that was struggling in front of goal previously. What I do think has kind of almost helped Austin recently is the kind of extra competition that he seems to be facing now that Hal Robson-Kanu's hit some form. He obviously scored as well on Saturday, and he's got 4 goals in his last 6 games. So all of a sudden, Austin, who I think it's still fair to say is probably Slaven Bilic's first choice striker, all of a sudden has got, a rival on the training ground in the matchday squad who is actually really pushing him. And indeed, Halvorsen Kahn, who has started the last 2 games, he's got the nod now, and he scored on Saturday. So going into tomorrow's game against Bristol City, it'll be very, very interesting to see who Bilic opts for, because I'd imagine that Austin, whether he starts, whether he comes off the bench, he'll be on a high.
Before we look ahead to West Brom's game tomorrow night, I wanted to get your views on a couple of talking points going into the January transfer window. One is Mateus Pereira, who I'm assuming you talk to any West Brom fan, he will wax lyrical about his form since his loan move. Do you think that West Brom will be trying to snap him up as quickly as possible on a permanent deal, or do you think there's a risk that, based on his performances for West Brom, there may be a few other clubs around, not just in this country, but around Europe, that will be looking at it and thinking, oh, we might want to go for that player?
Well, the good thing about Mateus Pereira is that, from a West Brom and Albion perspective, is that they have actually kind of locked in an agreement with Sporting Lisbon. They paid around £800,000-£900,000 in the summer for a loan fee. And that was with the kind of view to a permanent deal, which is going to tot up, if you include that loan fee, the whole sum of money will come to £9 million, which in this day and age, I know they're a championship team, but that seems like just an absolutely straightforward piece of business that you should be doing, really. It'll be interesting to see, really, in January. They've obviously kind of got dibs on him because they've agreed personal terms with him as well. And he's clearly loving him. Playing under Slaven Bilic, being a part of the successful West Brom team. They're playing good football and he's been a major, major player in that. So I wouldn't imagine that he'd be in any risk to go anywhere right now. I can't speak for other clubs around them, but, if there are any, they'll be slipping around. I'm sure Albion will kind of, that might even force Albion's hand, but I would be gobsmacked if, come the end of the summer transfer window, that Mateus Pereira hasn't signed a long contract at West Bromwich Albion.
Do you think that, obviously, he's yet to play Premier League football and this is based on playing in the Championship, but do you think the quality that he's showing, the technical ability that he has shown, highlights maybe that he is already good enough to play Premier League football, or is that perhaps a bit too premature to be suggesting that he will be a hit in the Premier League, having never kicked a ball in a Premier League game?
I think he's ready for the Premier League now, to be honest, Kieran. I watched him week in, week out, the way he affects games. He's not one of these guys that plays well with no substance. He actually, he scored goals. He's provided, I think, 7 assists. He's won a couple of penalties on top of that as well. So, he's somebody that I've been taken aback by how easily he's slotted into life in English football. I'd argue that the Premier League might even suit him a little bit more, because the Championship is full of good football teams. But in the Premier League, you actually might just kind of allow yourself a little bit extra time on the ball, maybe because the football is, because there are so many good football teams in there. Whereas the Championship is something we all know, it's kind of a bit rough and tumble occasionally. And you'll never know until he's kind of tested himself at that level. But judging by what I've seen, and certainly what I've heard from his loan spell in Germany last season, where he was part of a team that got relegated, but he was the standout player. I don't think the top tier of any division in Europe would be something that he would be particularly kind of apprehensive at, the idea of playing in that division.
Another player that's been in good form in forward areas for West Brom has been Grady Diangana. Obviously, he's on loan from West Ham. Considering West Ham's struggles, I'm not sure on the exact contractual situation as to whether West Ham have a recall clause in there during the season, but is there a risk that in January West Ham might look to recall him during the window?
Yes, they do have a recall clause. They've got, I think it's around a fortnight in January, similar to Harvey Barnes with Leicester actually last season. I think it's the first 2 weeks of the January window. So should the middle of January pass with Grady Diangana still at West Bromwich Albion, then they'll know that they'll be able to plan kind of safe in the knowledge that he'll be there until the end of the season. I think they're kind of taking it game by game at the minute, West Brom fans, as far as Diangana is concerned. And I'm not talking about West Brom, I'm talking about West Ham, because, you know, with every passing game that they fail to win, and they're obviously in a bit of poor form at the moment, there becomes that fear that he might become Harvey Barnes Mark II. And Pellegrini's come out himself said in the last few weeks that he intends to keep Diangana at West Brom because he thinks it'd be better for him to play 40 games a season as opposed to bit parts in the Premier League behind the likes of Antonio and Anderson and Yarmolenko. But equally, you've got to say that each passing game, the desperation kicks in. He might think about recalling Diangana based on the young winger's form at Albion. The other kind of caveat, of course, there is that we're still going to be unsure whether the beginning of January comes around, whether Pellegrini's even in charge of West Ham. So there's lots of kind of uncertainty on that front, but we can only go by Pellegrini's previous comments, and they've been that, you know, his plan, at least as of the end of October, middle of November, is for Diangana to stay put.
Looking ahead then, Joe, to West Brom's upcoming fixtures. We talked about this a few weeks ago about how there was this kind of tricky run for West Brom. It starts off with Bristol City tonight at home, then a trip to Preston. So Bristol City 7th, Preston away on Monday night, who are in 3rd, then at home to Swansea, who are 6th. This is a big test. West Brom have only lost one game all season. Considering two of them are at home, do you think they'll be backing themselves to get a decent points haul despite the quality of opposition?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you could probably even throw Sheffield Wednesday in that group of teams, you know, who are certainly, I don't know where they are off the top of my head now, but on Saturday they were 8th. So, you know, that kind of top cluster of teams. And they kind of battled through that game without Romain Saïss and Jake Livermore, who have been absolutely crucial to everything that have done well this season. They're both available after their one-match bans tomorrow night. Nathan Ferguson's also back after his three-match ban finished on Saturday. And there are no injury worries now as well. They've got Kieran Gibbs, Ahmed Agassi, Chris Brunn and Gareth Barry all back fit, all in the matchday squad on Saturday. So this is the first game, actually, where Slaven Bilic is going to have a fully fit and available squad. And it'll be interesting to see kind of how he manages the kind of the selection side of things. But yeah, that's certainly going to obviously put them in good stead ahead of tomorrow night. Bristol City have only lost a couple of games this season as well, I think. So they're no pushovers. And we all know of Preston's qualities, especially at home, where they've scored really, really freely. So as Slaven Bilic, I asked Slaven Bilic in his press conference recently about this run of games, and he came back with an answer saying, well, none of these teams are going to want to play West Brom either. So I think that's a fair point.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Joe. That was Joe Chapman, West Brom reporter for the Birmingham Mail, talking about the table toppers there, who do have a difficult run, but you get the feeling that Slaven Bilic and his side back themselves to continue to excel. Interesting, Mateus Pereira there, that West Brom do have the option of signing him permanently, and kind of with the form he's showing, he may well decide that if West Brom do get promoted and they're in a good position to do so, he might feel he wants to stay there as they get promoted into the Premier League. But it may be a situation where West Brom sign him for £8-9 million, as Joe suggested, and then another club might try and buy him for kind of double, triple that. We don't know, but according to Joe, He is very much capable already, actually, of playing Premier League football. West Brom are in action tomorrow night. They are at home against Bristol City. A tough run of games. They play Sheffield Wednesday on the weekend, home to Bristol City tomorrow night, away at Preston on Monday night, and then at home to Swansea in a couple of weeks' time. So not an easy run for West Brom, but top of the table by 2 points, just one loss in their first 17 games of the season. Remember, if you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Up next, we'll be talking all things Derby.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking all things Derby now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Richard Cusack, Midlands football writer for Reach. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Richard. Derby then at the weekend, a good win for them. Martin Waghorn grabbing the only goal to earn a fifth successive home win against high flying Preston. There must be a huge number of positives to take from that win on the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I think Derby should have had more goals, to be honest. They looked a much better side than we'd seen previously. Their best performance of the season by far. Waghorn himself, he had a couple of chances missed. Dwayne Holmes hit the crossbar. Tom Lawrence went close a couple of times. It was a really, really good performance. And Craig Forsyth coming into the side again, starting at left centre-back alongside Curtis Davies after 379 days out. His third, can you believe it, his third anterior cruciate ligament injury he's just recovered from in his career. So what a performance from him. He's given Cocker another big boost in that regard. Just a fantastic weekend for Derby. It really was, and it it lays a foundation now for the club to build on something ahead of what's going to be a crucial January. Really,
we mentioned Martin Waghorn, who scored the winning goal. He was actually one of two substitutes that were enforced following injuries to Mason Bennett and Graham Shinney. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments, but that just shows that within the game, Derby were able to adjust. Those are two starters for Derby that go down injured so early on in the game. And yet, is it praise on Philip Cocu, the manager, for his tactical adaptability? Or is it a bit of kind of praise for the players as well, that they were able to adjust to losing? You can never really account for or adjust that easily to losing two players in such an early part of the game.
Well, it was more praise for the players who came in. George Evans came in. He replaced Graham Shinney, who's been excellent since he made his debut in October. George Evans was really, really good, really solid. Complimented Christian Bielik in that two-man midfield nicely. And Martin Waghorn, who probably counted himself unlucky to be on the bench, really. Same as Jack Marriott, although, to be fair, you could argue the two strikers, they haven't been firing in the last few weeks, so they certainly don't deserve a place in the starting lineup. But the way that Waghorn conducted himself when he came on, and he was... He was buzzing around. He ran a nice foil for Chris Martin as well. He reacted quickly. He was headed in the first half from a corner to score Derby's only goal. But then he replaced Mason Bennett, who was making his first start since what happened previously with him and Tom Lawrence and Keogh. He looked really good. I think Philip Cocu was sort of, eyebrows were raised. Certainly, I'll say that I was certainly surprised when Mason Bennett started, but it became pretty clear that Cocu would identified a weakness down Preston's left-hand side and exploited that well. And Mason Bennett was playing very well until he came on. But it shows you the strength and depth Derby have got when a player can come off the bench and have such an impact. Waghorn did. And he should have had a hat-trick, really. Had another couple of very good chances to score some more goals. So I think Derby, it's been said a few times by a few people on social media and friends I've spoken to, but when it all clicks for Derby, somebody might be on... the other side of it, of a very strong, well, a bit of pasting from Derby, really, soon, hopefully.
I mentioned, Richard, how it was Derby's fifth successive home win. It feels like with all that Derby have had to deal with this season, they've certainly had their fair share, and it's only going to continue when a certain Wayne Rooney arrives on a permanent basis as player coach in January, that they are starting to get a bit of momentum. And it also highlights the importance of your home form, of making your home ground a really tough place for opposition to come, which has meant that Derby are 11th, just 5 points off the top six, despite a kind of a common belief that Derby have had a poor or relatively poor start to the season.
That's life in the Championship for you. I said it was exactly the same when I covered Derby's A38 Neighbours Burton Albion a couple of years ago. But in the Championship, you always have a quick chance or two or three games in quick succession to turn things around, and all of a sudden the table can be flipped. You can go from a few from 16th or 17th up to knocking on the playoff places. I mean, Derby's home form has been spectacular, and certainly since the incident, as we refer to it now, with Tom Lawrence Roskew, they've won every home game since. But the problem Derby have got this season is their away form has been absolutely horrendous. Obviously, they've not won on the road since the opening day in the league. They beat Scunthorpe in the Carabao Cup, obviously, since a 2-1 win at Huddersfield. Derby's biggest problem is, since a 2-0 win over Luton at home on the 5th of October, they've lost every away game subsequently, but they've countered that with a win at home. So they've won, lost, won, lost, won, lost, won. So anybody who... it's fancy a bit of a dabble on the Fulham game tonight. I've said to a few friends, he could be, you know, judging Derby's recent form, he might be in for a defeat at Fulham tonight. But if they can just turn that around, that away form around, then Derby will, you know, they could really make something out of this season when 2 or 3 weeks ago all seemed lost, you know.
I mentioned, Richard, about a couple of injuries. Graham Shinney and Mason Bennett with hamstring and ankle injuries respectively forced off during that win against Preston. Their doubts for tonight is the indication that they aren't too serious, that they are. That it may be a case of them missing out tonight, but that they're not long-term injuries that Philip Cocu will need to worry about.
There's no real time scale on them yet, I understand. The problem is that those injuries have come to good players. I know Mason Bennett, he's been under 23s the last few weeks, but he did look bright when he started off. Graham Shinney, it's a poor shout for him really, because he's had to wait, he's had to really bide his time to make his mark in the Championship at Derby. And obviously Matt Clark is out missing for a number of weeks after being on the receiving end of that tackle from Ryan Yates at Forest a few weeks ago. But you know, Derby have shown that players like Fasai, who I've just mentioned, George Evans came in. Those injuries will be Matt Clark and Graham Shinney were starting players, obviously. But Fasai's come in, done a brilliant job. Evans came in, did an excellent job. There's a couple of academy lads who are really doing the business, like Louis Sibley and Jason Knight, who I'm sure Cocky won't be afraid to call on if they're needed. So they will obviously give Cocky a bit of a headache, and it's not ideal to have those players out, but Derby have got the strength and depth to be able to cope with that, and that's the real plus point. You're heading into a really tricky run, a busy, as always is, a festive period.
Obviously, we've mentioned tonight's game. Derby travel to Fulham, who themselves won against QPR on Friday night at home. They're up in fourth place. Based on kind of form, you mentioned that Derby have been very good at home, not so good away from home. Will there be real concern amongst the Derby faithful that if it had been at home, there'd be a completely different confidence, but away from home at a good team like Fulham, is there a slight nervousness, trepidation going into this game?
I think when you play a team like Fulham, who are very good, as we've seen, I mean, it's remarkable. I know you've made the point already, but Derby are only 5 points off Fulham, who are obviously, you know, widely expected to challenge for promotion. They've got some cracking players like Knockhart, Mitrovic and Cavalero and Abubakar Kamara, who obviously scored a couple of goals against QPR on Friday night. But I think when you're a team like Derby who are playing the football that Derby are, you've always got a chance against a team in Fulham who like to play a bit themselves. So I think, look, this run has got to end sometime, hasn't it? And let's just hope it's tonight, because that sets up a game against another team who started well in QPR. Over below Derby in the table now, but that sets up a big game on Saturday, which I believe that Wayne Rooney could be at. That'll add a bit of extra spice to that game on Saturday at Pride Park as well. So here's hoping Derby can get a positive result tonight and set up the home clash on Saturday with a bit more anticipation about it.
I wanted to get your views, Richard, on a couple of transfer lines. One of them is a potential incoming, and it's a link with Derby with the Celtic winger, Scott Sinclair. Now, I believe there may have been some interest in Sinclair in the summer, but they didn't pursue it. Do you think that that's a likely move and a move that would suit Derby in January?
Well, it would make sense for a winger to come in, because our colleagues at Reach, Bristol Live, Bristol Post, they were reporting yesterday that Jamie Patterson is set to be sent back or recalled by Bristol City. In January, he's on a season-long loan. He signed on deadline day along with Ben Hayner from Huddersfield Town, so it's expected that he'll return back, which is a surprising one really, because he's looked bright when he's played a few times, but he's not really had that consistent sort of spell in the side. Another one, Kieran Dowell at Everton, from Everton. Sorry, he's marooned in the under-23s now. He was on the bench on Saturday, didn't come on. He looks like one who could possibly go back if all three parties play Derby and Everton decide that's the right thing to do. So certainly a winger looks on the cards in January. But Scott Sinclair, it's a tricky one because I believe he's not really played up at Celtic this season. So would you want to bring a player in who, I mean, he's got quality in the Championship and he's played for England, hasn't he, I think, and he's played for Great Britain, certainly in England's under-21s, and he's played keeping ranks at Chelsea, Manchester City, Swansea, Aston Villa, now Celtic. So it's a tricky one, really, when you're taking players on board like that who've not really had much of a run this season. But alternatively, he's 30 years of age. He'll want to try and make his mark somewhere different. Perhaps a change of scenery is best for all parties. And he's an exciting player, there's no doubt about that. But I believe Derby also, they did try to get him, I think, in the summer. So that'd be an interesting one to keep an eye on, I think.
And just finally, Richard, where Derby are at the moment, 11th place, 24 points. They are just 5 points off the top six. Do you think that in any other season, maybe Derby wouldn't be that close and therefore ambitions may have been tempered and expectation would have been reduced? But in this season, with how crazy and nutty it really is, that do you think Derby do genuinely believe that there is a top six position to be had this season?
I think the Championship support, it's a poor version of the Championship this year. It's a poor season. Preston, who I know everyone has off days, Preston are one of the top sides. They didn't look great on Saturday for whatever reason. I was expecting much more of a trickier test from them. You look at the teams above Derby, Bristol City, they've been known to challenge, but they do fall away. Nottingham Forest, the expectation on them might prove a bit too much. Fulham, you're expecting West Brom and Leeds to go up. So I think it's probably going to be four of Preston, Fulham, Forest, Swansea, Bristol City, Brentford, Sheffield Wednesday, Millwall and Derby, that's sort of like your top half of the season. I think also taking into account everything that's gone on this season with regards to the drink driving incidents, Philip Cocu coming in, Derby's first foreign manager taking over from Frank Lampard, who had such a brilliant season last year. The turnover in playing staff, betting in these new players, betting in the youngsters. I think Derby fans would have been probably taking a mid-table finish, maybe 7th or 8th this season. But you know what it's like? It was the same with Lampard last year. As soon as you get a sniff of those top six on the playoffs or automatics, everything changes. And in the expectation, people think, hang on, we've got a real chance here of doing something. I certainly think that January will be big for the club, big month when Wayne Rooney comes in as well. Be interesting to see what sort of impact he has and how he improves the team and where he plays. So it's a really, you can't really sort of you can't really put a sort of objective on this team at the moment. It's really tricky, and to be fair, it's one of the things that has made Derby's season quite interesting this year.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Richard. That was Richard Cusack, Midlands football writer for Reach. It's amazing how it's perceived that Derby have had a poor start to the season, and yet they're up in 11th place, just 5 points off the top six. They won 1-0 on the weekend against Preston. They're back in action tonight away at Fulham. Their home form has been very different to their away form. 5 successive home victories, but their away form has been pretty sketchy. Interesting to hear Richard's views there on a potential move for Scott Sinclair, who was linked with the Rams in the summer. Will Derby look to pursue him as Jamie Patterson, who's on a season-long loan from Bristol City? Could he be returning back to the Robins after just 5 league starts in the season for Derby so far? Love Sport.